as much as a lot of people like to, the Air Force Pararescue. And you know, these people, they go out and they spend their life in training. They usually average, the initial training period is between 56 and 95 weeks for the initial training. And then the rest of their career, while they're in special operations, they will continue to train. They're constantly training on new equipment. They're constantly training on new techniques. So it's a never-ending training period. It depends upon what the mission is as far as what type of training they go through. Those teams, again, are called special ops or special operations. Now, our pastor has called the leadership team for a meeting March the 7th. And for those who will be involved in that, I hope you take this seriously, because we are special ops. But it's not just us. It's the whole church. We need to be looking for opportunities to do things better, more efficiently, more effectively, all to further the kingdom of God. And we can all add or contribute something to this effort, to the overall effectiveness of the mission, if you will. You know, contemporary Christian artist, and we spoke of him during our praise practice, Carmen, some of you know him. He wrote a song quite a few years back, and it was called Mission 316. Of course, that lines up with John 3:16. And you know what? I would like us to seek, to desire, to become one of the frontline warriors for Mission 3:16, the special ops team. Just as God is unseen, our enemy is also unseen. And his forces are secretly at work at all times, behind the scenes, trying to destroy the work of God. 1 Peter 5:8 warns us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we've all heard this in the past, and it's something that I feel like it's worth bringing up again. Like a roaring lion. You know, the thing about it is, it didn't say he was a roaring lion. It said he was like one. And if you listen to the sound of his roar, it may be terrifying. But the fact is, your weapon arsenal is bigger. You've got God on your side. We need to remember that no matter what the devil throws at us, our God is bigger. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Satan's hope is to hinder or delay or negate the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to prevent it from reaching and transforming the lives of individuals around us. You know, many times, Satan is content with simply delaying that word from getting where it needs to be. Because if he can delay it just long enough, I just want to ask one question. How many of us here accepted Christ after the age of 12? Now see, we have beat the odds. Because in fact, they say that 93% of Christians who accept Jesus Christ do it before the age of 12. Doesn't look like it here, does it? We've beat the odds. So I thank God that someone was willing to take that extra step to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us, so that despite our age and our wisdom, that we would still hear the truth and that it would set us free. Special ops units are for the most part unseen. They work behind the scenes. They're doing what the Bible tells us to do in 1 Timothy 6:12, when it says to fight the good fight of faith. What are our special forces fighting for in the military? They're fighting for our way of life. We used to be a Christian nation, and that's the principles by which they still stand. Our fight, a continuation of that verse, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know what? The special forces, when they begin their training, they start out the same way, making a confession of faith that they are seeking to fill that position, whether it is Green Beret, Navy SEAL, whatever it is. They stand in a group of many people, and they make a confession that it's their desire to seek that training and to achieve that award of that specialty. Why do they do that? Why does the good word tell us that we should confess when we accept Christ? So that someone else can help me to stand up when I start to stumble. And the same is true in the military training. That when your brother in arms starts to stumble, or you see him start to falter, that you help him and you pick him up and you help continue that training. Don't leave him behind. Folks, it's the same way today with us. Don't leave anyone behind. Special Forces is a very rigorous job. In fact, the washout rate is tremendous. They begin their training with large numbers, and the washout rate for Army Rangers is 60%. For the Green Berets, it's somewhere in the 78% range. And believe it or not, for the Air Force Pararescue, it's 95% washout rate. Most of it is because of the physical rigorous training. They're not used to standing and swimming and running and doing push-ups and all the vigorous training that their body is not used to. They're not used to doing it day after day after day. The indoctrination week will account for over 50% washout rate for most of the military specialty armed forces, special ops. They'll wash them out within the first week. The public confession, once again, is a tool that is used to help acknowledge we're on the same team. And you know what? The same is true when that person kneels down, accepts Christ, and then stands before the church body and says, "Yes, I accepted Jesus Christ." They now are a child of the Most High God, and it's our responsibility to hold them up when they start to falter. In James 4 and 7, it tells, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And you know what? It's the same way for those military members. When they're going through that training and their body is trying to shut down because the pain level is so intense, they literally have to push the thought of the pain aside in order to succeed. We need to do the same thing. When that devil starts roaring and tells us what all is going to happen to us, we need to push through it, know who we are in God, and literally turn aside from it and know that our Lord will succeed. And in doing so, the devil will flee. Despite special ops training teams, they still are under authority. They can go through their training, they can complete it, but they still have someone they have to answer to before they can use those unique skills. Could you imagine the utter chaos if you took these trained weapons, and that's what they become, and just turned them loose on an unsuspecting society? It'd be devastating. That's why they are under authority. Jesus spoke quite a bit about authority, didn't he? Despite their intense training, they are only under authority to use that deadly force when they have been given the right to do so, or used under the proper authority. And the same is true for us in Luke 10 and 19. When it says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, It goes back to that snake handling thing and drinking poison. If you really want to test that, you press on. Myself, I'm going to take this in the sense that, you know what? If it happens and I see a scorpion on the ground, I'm going to stomp it. But I'm not going to take off my shoes to do it. It also says, don't tempt the Lord. So I'm going to let God lead me in my wisdom as to how to deal with that. But I will tell you this. I know who is in charge. I also know that God protects us. He watches over us. And we need to know that no matter what happens, just like when Sister Laverne heard that there was a tornado warning out, she made the statement, where would you rather be? Where would you rather be tonight than in God's house worshiping the Lord should something occur? If this was your last night on earth, what do you want to do? Be sitting in front of the TV, flipping through it? Oh, gosh, I love this show. I'd rather be in the Lord's house. Special operations trains in knowing who their enemy is. They train to learn who they are, what their tactics are, how they operate. They actually practice using their enemy's own equipment so that they will not leave a trail behind of something that can be identified as U.S. So they practice with the equipment, preparing for battle. And it all comes down to knowing who your enemy is. The Lord tells us, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this is in Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Putting on that whole armor of God. You know what? I believe we're putting on the right equipment here. But it's not of the enemy. Is to protect us against the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now that sounds like a mouthful, but I want to tell you something. It is so important. What did not get covered here? Your back never got covered. You know why? Because there is no retreat. As a child of the Most High God, we do not retreat. When it talks about the preparation, everything you have, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you're covered, but your back is not covered because we do not retreat. We can't afford to retreat. What's it say? Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy. Folks, I want to tell you something. It doesn't mean you won't have your doubts. I spoke about my own personal doubts this morning. We're going to have doubts. When we go and we start to grow in our Christian walk, we're going to have times where we say, Lord, I don't understand this. You're just going to have to explain this to me. Show me where this means. I don't understand this. I'm not sure I believe this. That's okay. Guess what? God's got big shoulders. He can handle it. But he loves you enough to realize that's part of the learning process, is for each one of us to question him. I said question. I didn't say accuse. But even then, his love is strong enough to get us through it. But when we do, we need to keep our eyes focused on him. We need to keep our mind focused upon the Lord, upon his word and his scripture. It is strength to us. is when we start listening to that roaring lion and buying all the lies that he tells us. Folks, I want to tell you something. They have a group out there that's called PSYOPs, Psychological Operations. And they're the ones that have the blaring messages in the different languages. And it's basically telling them, you're going to be defeated. Turn yourself in to the nearest military personnel so that we won't have to kill you. Sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? Guess what? It works. It worked in the first Gulf War. It's working today. Who are you listening to? When you go to prepare and go into battle, who are you listening to? Are you listening to the one that's telling you, you will lose. You're going to be defeated. You aren't strong enough. I'm going to take you out. Or are you listening to the one that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? That's the one I want to listen to. We all get scared. You sometimes listen to the other voice out there. The one that's like that little gnat. He thinks he's a mighty roaring lion, but he's a little gnat. But you know what? We just have to call on the Lord when that fear comes upon us. Because we know who the winner is. We read the back of the book. No military person goes into battle with their weapons back at their base. Nobody jumps out of a airplane, leaving their parachute back on the ground. If they do, they only do it once. But I want to tell you something. Why? Because they're prepared. They know what they need when they go into battle. No military man, if he's smart, will step out into a battle zone without having his flak vest with his strike plate. And what that is, a strike plate, is a plate that will stop small arms fire. It prevents their vests from being penetrated. Out on some of the video sites, they actually have a military member who was actually ambushed. And that strike plate saved his life. He was struck. It hit him dead in the chest. And he got back up and got behind the vehicle. It did not penetrate him. If he had not had that on him, he would have perished. We don't want to go into battle without our strike plate on either. You never see a military member who goes out into battle. I guess there were some in Vietnam, though. And the first thing they do is they take that helmet off and go, I'm not wearing that thing. It's too heavy. I'm not wearing that. That's uncomfortable. That's hot. Most of those didn't come home. Or they don't take their helmet off and they hang it off their canteen. Say, I like it over here instead. It makes me look cool. All right, Soldier of Fortune magazine, take a picture of me. It's not going to happen. So we must be completely covered with the equipment that God has provided for us when we go into battle. As for authority, when it comes from God, God alone, that's who our authority comes from, so we can believe it. Is it in this word? Did we hear it from him? Then we can believe it. Who do you take your orders from? Is it from your spouse? Is it from your neighbor? Or your good friend? And if it's the lady saying, I ain't taking no orders from him. Well, you know, he is a spiritual head of the household, and he will be held accountable. So if it's not good stuff, you know, he'll be held accountable for it. But we're not going to get into that. We're just simply going to say this. The good Lord above is who you take your orders from. There's a magazine called Christian Reader, and in it, a lady, Irma Landis, writes about, for decades, anyone living within 5 or 6 miles of the hat factory in Denver, Pennsylvania, they set their clocks and their watches by the siren that the company set off 5 days a week. At 5:30 a.m., the wake-up siren would begin the day, and then it followed by the starting, lunchtime, and quitting sirens at designated times. When the siren system was eventually disbanded, the timekeeper obviously no longer was needed. A gentleman went and asked the timekeeper. He said, you know, I worked at that factory for 35 years. And he said, it's hard for me to believe that you were the guy who set the time, set off the siren. He said, yeah. He said, what exactly did you use to keep your time? And the man reached in his pocket with a smile on his face and pulled out a child's Mickey Mouse watch. Now, it sounds funny, doesn't it? But I want you to understand, there are many people who are directing our lives who don't have a clue. And we're following them. We're listening to what they say. We're trying to emulate what they do. You need to make sure who your leader is. You need to make sure who's blowing your whistle. Who is your authority? In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 through 5, we receive our battle instruction. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, right there, if we just take that one section and we look at that and we think throughout our day, when we talk to someone or someone gives us advice, does it line up with God's word? Is it exalting itself above God? Is it saying, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but? Folks, if someone starts that, yeah, I know the Bible says to do that, but. You know what? Tell them to butt out, because they're leading you down the wrong road. It does not line up with God's word. They're saying their way is higher than God's way. Not so. It's not possible. You need to realize that many will come to help, but if what they're giving you advice for, what they're trying to do to interfere in your life does not line up with this word, or they're trying to elevate themselves above God, then you need to walk. You need to thank them, but send them on their way, because it will destroy your Christian walk. So we've received our instructions. Now we have to decide, are we willing to commit? Are we willing to commit to the overall effort required? Just like many who go into training in special forces, they think they want to be there. They committed to it for 6 to 8 months prior to going. They exercised every day, thinking they had what it took. Some were exceptional athletes, but it's not your athletic ability. It's not your overall physical strength. There are many who are outstanding athletes who go and think it was going to be a cakewalk, and within the first week, they're gone. There are many who are able to deadlift 300-400 pounds, and they don't make it a couple days. So it has nothing to do with that. And when you talk to all those who have gone through the training and say, okay, what was different about you than everybody else? Most of them will tell you, I never let myself think about quitting. I had a goal in mind, and I kept my focus on it. What is our goal? Do you really want to see souls won for the kingdom of God? Do you really want them to learn about Jesus Christ? Are we willing to pay that price? I'm not asking you to sell all that you have and go. Though if the Lord would tell you that, I hope you would. I'm simply saying, are we willing that when the Lord tells us, go over and say this to that person, are we willing to do it? Folks, that's hard. That's very hard. That was a gift that Jody at one time had, the ability to hear from God, and she would have to go up to a total stranger and tell them what the Lord has said. Wait until the Lord tells you, go tell that man he needs to leave that woman he's with and go back to his wife. a total stranger. That's easy. Anybody can do that. Not. That's not easy at all. Then God got nasty with me. He started having her tell me to go do it. I got sassy. Lord, if you want me to do that, you're going to have to tell me. It ain't going to come through her. He said, you're one flesh. Ow. I sure didn't like that part. That's the part about that marriage vows that you just kind of want. I didn't hear that. Guess what? God won. And that's the way he started using us. And he was trying to get me to understand. I was too busy running my face where she was listening. But he knew that I had the gift of gab, so he would give her the message, tell me, and let me go spend my mouth running it, you know. But God used it, and it worked. It can be terrifying, though, to go up to a total stranger and say things that you really don't want to say. But if you're obedient and you see that one person turn their life around, it's an awesome experience. Will you choose to be part of the special ops team? Maybe it's the prayer force team. Maybe you feel your gifting is in prayer. Then pray. Well, you know what? I wanted to be on the prayer team, and they didn't ask me, so I'm not doing it no more. First off, lose the attitude. And second off, pray. Because you know what? You don't have to be on the prayer force team to pray. You can pray anytime, anywhere. Maybe God has told you that your special ops team is going to be the hospitality team. You think, okay, how important is that? Well, you know what? The truth of the matter is, it can be very important. It can be very important. There's a story of a husband and wife who lived in Wisconsin, and they had been at odds with their son for quite a few years. And finally, they said, enough. When we call, our son won't answer the phone. We know he still lives there. We're just going to go out there and see him. So they drove to California to see their son. They went, tried calling. He wouldn't answer the phone. So they went to his house, knocked on the door. The son came to the door and said, what do you want? And they said, we want to make it right. Not interested. Slams the door in their face. The couple was so brokenhearted. But they said, you know what? Let's just make the best of this. It's Sunday morning. We've always wanted to go see this church that we listen to the broadcast, you know, every day. So let's go to that church. And they pulled in the parking lot, and it was a huge mega church. You know, one of those 5,000-6,000 people churches. And they, oh, man, you know, this is, I don't know if this is a good idea. But nevertheless, they decided to go in. And as they went in, they found a seat. And then came the meet and greet time, where you turn around and shake your neighbor's hand. There was a gentleman behind them, and he just had such a heartwarming smile, and he said, what's your name? He didn't say, my name's so-and-so. He said, what's your name? And they told him. And the Lord used this man, because he said, you know what? I really would like to take both of you out to lunch after we get through here. Could you let me have that honor? Oh, you don't have to do that. No, I know I don't have to. I want to. Would you please honor me with that? Okay. So they went out with this man. And they had lunch. And they began a friendship. And that friendship grew. And no, it never took the place of the hurt of that son who refused to make amends. But the friendship grew and it helped to lessen the pain, because they had a person that loved and cared for them with no pretenses. He was a servant of the Most High God, and he would just took it upon himself to be hospitable to two people who looked like they were hurting. So don't ever underestimate how much that handshake means, or how much that pat on the back or that smile. Because you know what? To someone, it means everything. I remember when I first got saved, they spoke about needing a driver for the van ministry. I laughed about it. I thought, van ministry? Yeah, that's really a ministry. Yeah, what do? Go out there and pray over the vehicle? Well, after I drove it for 3 months, I realized you had to get it to work. But it was a ministry. You are generally on the road picking people up an hour and a half before church starts. And you're back on that road, and you don't get home until an hour and a half after everybody else does. So it was a ministry. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. And I did that for 3 years. And right after they got rid of all the junky vans, right after I quit, that's when they got the new van. What's up with that? They got a brand new 15-passenger van, and I'm like, ah. You know, I was the one who every time you took it out, you had to fill it up with oil because it leaks so bad. Summertime, that's when the air conditioner quit. I mean, you know, I had the junk, but it was a good learning lesson because it made me realize there is ministry in everything. Folks, there is ministry when you take, all right, how about this? Who wants to be on the VAC ops? Not black ops, not like special stuff. I mean, back ops, like the vacuum cleaner. Because I want to tell you something. It makes a difference. When someone new comes in the church, they may leave here and have had an awesome spiritual experience. But then you might hear this in the parking lot. You know, I really liked the preaching, and the people were nice. Did you see them dirty floors where them kids been eating crackers all over the floors? Did you see that? I don't know if I'm going to come here again or not. And it happens. Don't think for a minute it doesn't. You know, I really like that church, but they didn't even sweep the leaves off the front at the entrance. I thank God for Kenny for doing that every week. And you might not think it matters, but it matters. Anything you do to improve this church, not just this one, but any church, is a special ops team. It's a special ops act because you are trying to better the kingdom of God. And you may not be recognized for it. Brother Jerry, I know you don't get told enough how much we appreciate what you're doing for the Ministerial Association, for going down there to the jail when nobody else will. I thank God for you, and I hope he gives you a double blessing just for the sake of it. I can't possibly name all the people who do so many things behind the scenes here. But that's what Special Ops does. They do it all behind the scenes. And it may be the little things that you don't think really matters that truly does. Maybe you might want to be on the visitation team. And if it's not in your heart to go to other people's houses, how about this? How about to pick up the phone and say, I heard you were feeling down. I just wanted to call and encourage you today and let you know I was praying for you because you matter. Folks, I don't care who you are. I don't care how calloused you are. We all like to hear someone say, we matter. And it doesn't take but a few minutes to call and let them know. Maybe you want to be on the development team. Maybe that's it. Maybe you want to be the one who gets out there on the internet and looks at other churches and goes, hey, that's a good idea. Write it down. Then at the next leadership team meeting, you can say, hey, Pastor, or maybe just talk to him in private first. I thought I saw this on the internet, how this church is doing this. What do you think? Now, don't go getting your feelings hurt if the pastor says, no, we're not going to try that. You know how much time I spent doing that, trying to find out all the information. Now you're saying, no, well, that's fine. I'm going to find me another church. No, don't do that. Okay? It may just be that the pastor knows that 3 years ago they already tried that and it didn't work. Or maybe he knows that they can't do that for a certain reason that you're not aware of. How about simply, okay, Pastor, do you mind if I keep looking for other ideas, though? I'll guarantee you he's going to say, no, please do. There's a reason. You don't have a private go up to the general and say, General, I got an idea. What do you say we take these tanks here, put them over here, and do... No, the private doesn't tell the general what to do. So don't tell your pastor what to do. Offer advice. If he doesn't take it, accept it, but continue to pursue what God has told you to do. And be willing to accept whatever comes out of it. Because you know what? If he told you to go out there and look for information or look for better ways to do something, that's your job. It isn't to put it in effect. It is to look. But now let me be honest about this. Be cautious. Because many times when you come up with a really good idea, the pastor may look at you and say, that's a wonderful idea. Why don't you take care of that? Why don't you spearhead that? That's a good idea. We'll be waiting to get a report. It can happen. But you know what? If that's what the Lord's put on your heart, then that's what you should do. There's a story of a man who had a little cabin on top of a big, huge mountain. And outside of his front door was a big, huge boulder. And he said, Lord, I want that boulder gone. And the Lord said, push it. He said, what? He says, get out there and push it. So every day he would get up and he would go outside and he would push that boulder and push it and push it. And it would never move. And finally, after years, the man became frustrated and he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, why have you done this? I asked you to move this boulder and you told me to push it. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed for years. And it hasn't moved an inch. Lord said, I told you to push on it. You've done that. Look at your arms. Look how strong they are now. Look at your legs. Look at what a foundation you're built on. He said, now you have the strength to do what I really want you to do. What's that? Tear down your house and move. Bad joke, but you get the point. Our job is to do what the general tells us. Our Lord is our general. We don't give him advice. We listen to what he's asking us to do. And let's pursue it with everything that we are, as if our life depended on it, because there are lives depending on it. Whatever team it is, get about training. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's what you should do. In other words, if the Lord gives you a thought, bathe it in prayer. Make sure that this is God who's talking to you. Because remember, that roaring lion, he can be deceptive. He can come as an angel of light also. Beware. But bathe it in prayer. Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And you know what? It doesn't show a lack of faith. We are like this. Oh, show me a sign. Show me a sign, Lord. Well, you know what? You won't always get a sign. Sometimes it's just that never-ending, nagging feeling that won't go away. That's your sign. Sometimes he will use someone else to confirm it. Have you ever thought about starting a ministry doing this? Yes. And you act all surprised. Just like tonight. What'd Sister Laverne do? Started calling out for all of our singers to come from the north, south, east, and west, and in walks Joe. She's like, wow. Quick, call in some tithers. No. But bathe each idea in prayer. Bathe this church and its leadership team in prayer. But do something. They used to say in the military, do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way, but do something. And you know what? That's what we need to do. We need to set our sights on that prize of doing whatever the Lord has called us to do, whatever that is, whether that is leading a youth group, whether that is singing up on stage when you never sung up on stage in your life, whatever it is. Pray and ask the Lord, Father, is this what you want me to do? Bathe it in prayer. And then find a way to achieve that. Because we have got to get about the Father's business. Time is running out. No man knows the hour of the day, and that's a good thing, because we'd wait until the last minute. Lord, what second? We'd wait the hour, we'd wait the day, then we'd wait the hour, and then we'd try to get it down to minutes and see if we could get it down to seconds before we repented and asked for forgiveness. So it's a good thing we don't know. But the fact is, he does. And we can look at the things that are going on in the world today and know that the time is drawing down. I'm not about to tell you a day or an hour. Anybody does, get away from them. Because they don't know. But our Father does. And you know what? I don't care if it's 1,000 years from now. We still need to be about the Lord's business today as if it's tomorrow. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you that you help each one of us to become serious about serving you, to seek you out in everything that we do, and Lord, to commit to it as the special forces do, as the special operations do. Lord, that they are going to commit their life to doing what you've called them to do, or that they chose that path. But Lord, we want to do what you've called us to do, and we want to do it with everything that we are, that you're glorified. And Father, we ask that you give us the courage to stand against odds that are stacked against us, just as all those who are entering these special camps, the special training, Lord, with such a large washout rate, they have to know that their chances are not very good, but they do it anyway. Help us to have that courageous spirit, but help us to realize where it's coming from, not ourselves, but you. Lord, when your word says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, let us take that to heart and believe it and do it for your glory. We pray now for Pastor, for his feet, for his healing. We pray for the finances of the church. We pray for all those who are sick, Lord, that you will glorify yourself by their healing. Watch over and protect each person here until they can return again at the appointed hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.